Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast. I am your host, Colt Molesky, here with Brennan Scarborough, the Flying Hawaiian from Northwestern St. Paul. He is the sports broadcaster extraordinaire who I always bring in to talk some good old-fashioned basketball before the season starts off. Brennan, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Colton. But my fantasy football team is not doing so great. But we're here to talk basketball, so let's get in it.
Oh, the woes of September, huh?
The woes of September is right. At least if I lose now, I don't have to have any playoff pressure, huh?
There's never any playoff pressure on you, Brennan.
Yep.
Anyways, so that's actually a great segue into what I wanted to talk about first with you. I know there's a lot of excitement. We just had the media day for the Timberwolves. But first I wanted to talk about, we just had a great amount, a majority, I would say. I think it's safe to say a majority of NFL players, teams, and personnel were taking a knee during the anthem after Donald Trump's words, harsh words against the NFL and how he views the protests that Colin Kaepernick started all the way back last year. And so we had all the teams. We had the Seattle Seahawks. We had the Tennessee Titans. We had the Pittsburgh Steelers. They didn't even get on the field for the anthem. They were in the locker rooms while everybody else was taking a knee, linking arms. And so we had this big kind of push for freedom of speech in the NFL against what was Trump was saying, which was basically that there should be a penalty for exercising your right to protest. And so through all of that, I think one of the things I thought about with the NBA season coming up is that the NBA players, I think for the most part, are more outspoken than or NFL players, just because there is a little bit less of, I would say, kind of that overhang of, oh, you're not that important. There's so many players that can take part in the roster. You're not as important as maybe an NBA player. You don't have as much pull. And so I feel like even though there's strict for this, do you think that the NBA players, there's guys who are maybe going to do something in way of protest?
I would say we're kind of already seeing that now with what Steph Curry said and with what LeBron James has said. And some of the NBA superstars have already spoken out against this topic. I think that maybe in the beginning of the season we will see that. We will see a solidarity between the owners or the GMs or the higher-ups, the front office, and the players. But I don't expect this to last throughout the entire season. Being that the NBA season is very long, and the NFL season is very short. So every game of the NFL season is a huge highlight, being that there's only 16 of them. But the NBA season, a lot of things come and go. I don't expect to see it the entire time.
And we know that Adam Silver, the commissioner for the NBA, is a little more, I would say, progressive, forward-thinking as far as commissioners go. He was the one who took the All-Star game out of Carolina because of some laws that were not getting passed that he didn't agree with. So do you think he would have a problem necessarily with it, despite the fact that there are those rules that the NBA has? Do you think that he would see that as their way of expressing themselves and using their right to protest and their right to freedom of speech? Or do you think he has to come in and kind of set a tone and say, no, those are still the rules, despite what I think and despite if I agree with you or not, that we've got to hold to?
I would say the one really good thing about the NBA that maybe not so much that the NFL has is that the NBA has a very good representation from players. As we can think back to the NBA lockout, Derek Fisher being like the prominent spokesperson in that. The NBA players have very good representation. So if anything is going to happen, I think we'll see a lot of talking from both sides. And as you said before, Adam Silver is very progressive, very much so wants to talk to the players. So I think, like, nothing will happen to where it's like, We don't support what one side's doing opposed to the other. So I think that we will see if there is a speech or a protest that goes on. I don't think that Adam Silver will not know what's going on. You know, I think he'll be very wise to what the players are doing, and I think the players will definitely discuss what their plans are for the upcoming season as well.
And so now moving on to the home front, the Timberwolves looking really good. We just had the media day. They're headed off. They're at camp in San Diego, and the preseason is literally right around the corner, and you can almost taste the NBA season is almost here. I'm so excited for it. What are your impressions? What are your thoughts on the Wolves now that I think everything is in place? I don't know. We just had the blockbuster trade of Carmelo Anthony going to the Thunder. Tom Schreier and I discussed that in an earlier podcast. You can go check that out on the website on Zone Coverage. We have that one on there as well. But I feel like everything is in place now, finally. Everybody knows what each team, at least what the rosters are going to look like for the most part. Where do you think the Wolves stand, and how do you like their roster top to bottom as they're going into preseason here?
I really like their roster top to bottom right here. And as we've said in one of our earlier podcasts, the beautiful thing about the Wolves is that if you look at their bench, it's not so much players that don't have experience or very young guys. People like Taj Gibson, like that's a player who he has minutes. He's played minutes, you know, and he has experience, and players that, you know, that they're not relying on youth as much as they are experience. And I think that's very helpful for the Wolves. And as we said before, depth is a very big part of it, being that you can now rely on these guys to not give up a huge lead every time your starters come off the floor. Also, I think that the Timberwolves I can't remember when they've had a starting five this good, that on paper, this looks like one of the best starting fives in the NBA and one of the more youthful ones at that. I think it's more exciting the closer it gets to October. I don't know. I'm very excited for the start of the NBA season.
Yeah, and talking about those starters, does it worry you at all that Andrew Wiggins doesn't have his contract done? I know that maybe Timberwolves fans are a little tired about hearing about this, but it's something that has to be continually discussed, that Andrew Wiggins is one of the premier guys on this team, and he is still not for sure locked up on this contract.
I would say it could be a tad worrisome, but I would say that shouldn't be the height of their that should not be the height of their worries. I think in good time it'll get figured out. Being that for Andrew Wiggins, this is a great opportunity to play, to be a starter on a great team, a very youthful one at that, that you can have for a while now. If you're Andrew Wiggins, this is not an opportunity you want to miss out on. So I think for Timberwolves fans, I think we can expect to see a deal fairly soon, or I wouldn't worry about anything about Andrew Wiggins. I don't think it's that big of a deal.
And now going to, I think the biggest, well, definitely the biggest addition for the Wolves, but one of the bigger additions just throughout the summer that's been so exciting, Jimmy Butler coming to the Timberwolves. He definitely adds a leadership aspect to the team. He definitely adds the defense. He helps, I think, guys like Wiggins, guys even like Towns, who with their defense, helping them on the side of the ball that the Wolves, you talked about, suffered so much, especially in the fourth quarter last season. But on the offensive side of the ball, do you think he slides nicely there with Teague, with Wiggins, with Towns, or do you think there's going to be a little bit of a mentality of, I'm the leader, and you got to let me have some of these shots. You got to give up a couple of these shots for me. Where do you think the role is offensively? Do you think that works out for them to just pair in nicely, or do you think that there's going to be a little bit of a takeaway from shots from maybe Wiggins or Teague?
I would say, and we've talked about this before as well, I think the beautiful thing about Jeff Teague is that Jeff Teague does not need to have the ball in his hands all the time. Jeff Teague is very, very okay with giving up the ball, as we saw with his time in when Al Horford was considered a superstar in Atlanta. You know, he had Paul Millsap there as well, Kyle Korver there as well. He's very willing to give up the ball if it means for them to win. And I think this is a great place for Jeff Teague to be. I think having a point guard who can also shoot will be good as well. I think the offense now, it's not so much who will get the ball. I think the offense now is more dynamic than it was in years past, especially now that you have a big man like Karl-Anthony Towns that can dominate, but you also have people from the outside who could shoot. You have players from that can hit the elbow shot if they need to. Karl-Anthony Towns can pop out and hit a three if he wants to. We've seen that before last season. I think that this offense isn't so much so where is the ball going? I think it's, hey, the ball can go to all these different avenues, A, B, or C. I think that this offense is more exciting, more dynamic than it was in years past. And I think that I don't think there will be any issues on the ball not going to whoever it needs to. I think the ball will be spread around just nicely.
And then going to some of the guys on the bench, you're looking at Jamal Crawford, you talk about Taj Gibson, but other guys like a Tyus Jones. I think those are the guys you really want to see perform in the preseason, right, and kind of see some marketable growth from them from last year to the preseason. We have the first game on September 30th coming up against the Lakers for preseason. What are just a couple of things you want to see from the bench guys, from those younger guys on the Timberwolves? Do you just want to see them maybe looking more confident? Do you want to see them hitting shots? I know one of the concerns is outside shooting for the Wolves. Do you want to see Tyus Jones maybe getting a little more courageous from outside, from deep? What do you want to see from these guys? Or do you just want to see consistency from that bench group to know that they're not going to blow a lead in the third quarter at the beginning when maybe you're resting Towns and Butler?
I think you hit on it right away, and I think it's confidence. And the beautiful thing about having Tyus Jones play next to Jamal Crawford is that he's going to see one of the most confident six men in the NBA. Jamal Crawford really he has a very short memory. Jamal Crawford might go 0-for-3, but then after that might hit three straight threes, you know, or might break someone's ankles. Jamal Crawford's a very electrifying guy to play next to, and I think that'll just feed off into the younger guys. But as you were saying, Tyus Jones, if you need to hit a big shot, he can while the starters are resting. And I think that's a great thing for a young player's career, to play with someone that has confidence. And maybe at first, I wouldn't be surprised maybe if Tyus Jones, he swings the ball to Jamal Crawford more. But I think that's someone he could definitely feed off of going forward in this organization.
Well, and you and I, too, I think other people had maybe tempered expectations for Jamal Crawford, or maybe didn't think it was a big deal. But you and I know really love, we're buying all the Jamal Crawford stock that we can because we're really excited about him. He averaged 12 points a game. I think it was 12.3 points a game last season. I mean, this guy is not by any means going to be a liability on offense and just this washed up shooter that they brought up to try and help guys like Tyus Jones work on their stroke. Like, he's an actual legitimate scoring threat from outside still when he's playing in that controlled range of like 16 to 20 minutes. So I think he's a valid guy who's going to be contributing to this team and maybe play a little bit of that Ray Allen role where he comes off the bench in the fourth quarter and hits two threes and all of a sudden you're back in a game that you thought you might lose.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. Jamal Crawford, as we've seen from his time at the Clippers, he's a very, very trustworthy guy to have on the bench. And I think that is something the Wolves need. Also, someone that's very electrifying. If you're going to watch these games, you want to see something exciting happen throughout the entire game. I think Jamal Crawford gives that. A lot of ankle breakers, a lot of threes. Very exciting for this team this season.
It'll also be interesting to see, too, because we had Gorgui Jang talking about the three-point shooting on Media Day and talking about how the coaches asked him to shoot threes, and he kind of said, I'll leave that up to guys like Jamal Crawford. But then later on, he said, I'll do whatever the team needs me to do. And so obviously, he's going to try and fit into the role and stretch and grow a little bit where the team needs him and fit into whatever role Tom Thibodeau has for him. But there is a little bit of that mentality, I think, from the Timberwolves team headed into the preseason where it's a little bit in the back of their mind where they're thinking, we got to have some of these guys grow in their comfort zone or grow out of their comfort zone and try and hit some threes, because otherwise they're all going to be shooting the same shots and we're not going to be stretching at defense at all. Would you like to see some guys who normally don't shoot a ton of threes maybe try and get out of their comfort zone, shoot a few more threes in preseason, and just try and work on that when the games, I don't want to say don't matter, but aren't important to the playoff hunt?
I would say yeah. And as I've said before, it's the word dynamic that's coming back in. If you look at Brook Lopez, two seasons ago was not hitting very many threes. But as the game has changed, as the game has evolved, if you don't want it to be a liability when you pass it to your big man or your four out on the 3-point line and they can't do anything. That adds so much more valuable to you, value to you as a player if you're able to do more things. So yes, we know that he can hit the elbow shot and he plays well inside. But if you can swing it out to him and hit a few threes here and there, and sure, test it out during the preseason. You know, maybe you don't come out, you know, chucking four a game, but hey, maybe try one or two, see what happens. I think that the more hats you can wear, the more valuable you are to a team, the more minutes you'll play. I think for the Timberwolves, if you can have the big men shoot, I mean, Karl Anthony Towns already kind of can, and people have to guard him. You keep defenders honest if you have to guard them from inside to out. So, yeah, I see nothing wrong with having them shoot some threes.
Brook Lopez last year attempted 387 three-point shots, and his career high before last season was 14. He shot 34% from three. So you're right. Versatility is an emphasis over the last couple of years in the NBA. And I think you don't want a guy on your roster who plays a considerable or a bulk amount of minutes where you're like, he can only do this one or two things. You want a bunch of guys who can do four or five, six things. Otherwise, you're going to get stuck in some situations when you're playing a really good team like the Thunder or the Warriors where you can't have them on the floor. We talk about DeAndre Jordan a lot in the media and how he's really a liability out there in the fourth quarter when teams know that they can just foul him and send him to the free throw line and he's not going to hit those shots. You can't have those type of players on this young team when they're trying to fight for a playoff spot. And then when they do, if they do get into the playoffs, you can't have a guy who's going to cause liabilities for a young team who's just trying to get confidence in the playoffs. And so talking about all these teams in the West, it's a stacked group in the West. We have had so much talent go from East to West. First of all, where do you see the Wolves now after the Carmelo Anthony move? Where do you see them as far as seeding goes for a playoff spot after that big trade?
I would say we were talking before, I still see the Wolves maybe in top five. I could see them in top five. I think that this Carmelo Anthony trade just solidifies where we thought the Thunder might be. I think that it's a great fit for the Thunder, but I don't see the Wolves getting knocked out totally just yet. I still think that the Wolves will for sure be a big threat in the playoff seeding. Maybe not as high as before, being that I still think Carmelo's got some juice left in him, and I still think that I think this fits well with Carmelo, but I still think that the Wolves can definitely make a splash come this offseason. Playoff season, I mean, not offseason.
So, last season we had Golden State, San Antonio, Houston, LA Clippers, Utah, Oklahoma City, Memphis, and Portland as your eight playoff teams. A couple teams that stick out to me right there. I don't think Memphis makes the playoffs. I think they just lost a lot of depth on their roster. I don't think they have the perimeter attack. I don't think their defense is as good as it's going to be as it was last year. Chandler Parsons isn't panning out for them, and they sunk a ton of their cap space into contracts like his. I think they fall out. I think maybe Utah is either an 8-7 seed, or they fall out of the playoffs, depending on how good the Dallas Mavericks are. So out of those eight, do you think those teams fall out? Do you think a couple of them stay? Do you think a couple of them get bumped down significantly? Where do you see those eight from last year in this year's playoffs?
I would say I think the Trailblazers will probably still stick around. Believe it or not, I would say if anyone is to drop a few rungs, I would not be surprised if it's the San Antonio Spurs. I think we've seen the Spurs have a weaker impact on the playoffs as years have gone on. Kawhi Leonard's still amazing. LaMarcus Aldridge has just been playing very average to below average. I haven't been surprised by LaMarcus Aldridge. Also, Manu Ginobili's getting old. I think we're starting to see them fade out a little bit. And Kawhi Leonard's the only thing I think that's keeping them relevant. I think that the Clippers could probably drop down a few rungs, being that, you know, Chris Paul was the one who was leading the team. Patrick Beverley, great defender. He could be pretty good when it comes to assists, but I don't see him doing as much offensively as Chris Paul was generating. When you have a point guard that's that good, I don't know if you can replicate that unless you get someone that's better than Chris Paul, and there's not many out there who are, if any. But I would say, yeah, I agree with you with the Memphis thing. I think they lost too much. Chandler Parsons not turning out to what they thought he would. They are losing a lot of money in that deal. But for sure, I definitely see the Timberwolves in there. Golden State's going nowhere, and you know that. Houston, I could see going there. I think it's going to be very similar. I'm very interested to see what happens throughout the season because injuries happen, and there's a lot of trades that might happen throughout the season still yet. So we might totally guess something now, but be guessing something totally different in 2 months, you know?
Absolutely. I would have to agree with you on the Spurs. The moves that they made were kind of similar to the Warriors in the offseason. The difference is they have one all-star in Kawhi Leonard, and the Warriors have four all-stars that they put a bunch of bench players around. And so I don't really see them making that big move, or they have that next guy. Like, if you think about the teams that were playing the Miami Heat back in 2012, and you had Tim Duncan, you had Parker, and you had Ginobili, and yeah, they were getting older, but then you had guys like Kawhi Leonard who were coming up and were going to be really good. Like, who's that young guy on the Spurs who's going to be kind of the next great guy who helps Kawhi take this team to another championship? I just don't see him on this roster. But if you're looking at just the whole of the Western Conference, this is going to be a gauntlet for the Timberwolves. This is going to be a tough year. And I think this is a really good team. I think this is a playoff team, but it's just going to be a tough year. It's going to be a race right down to the wire, because if you're looking at some of the teams that you like from the offseason going into the regular season, if they're good, Denver Nuggets adding Paul Millsap. Now they've got a really good front court. I really like them to maybe slide into that 8 spot. You're looking at the Dallas Mavericks. If Dennis Smith Jr. is the thing that makes that roster pop for them, and they're bringing back Nerlens Noel for the defensive side of things around the rim and in the paint. There's some teams that didn't make the playoffs last year. The Timberwolves are one of those teams that look really good, but if you're looking at the teams that made the playoffs last year, maybe only one or two of them don't make the playoffs. So it's going to be a tight race. Who do you like to kind of make that push with the Timberwolves into the playoffs that didn't make it last year? Go ahead.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. I think the Nuggets could be a big team. As you mentioned, with they have Paul Millsap leading them. I think Paul Millsap has just proven that he's a very valuable asset in the front court. And they got Jokic as well. He's been doing really good, and especially with a leader like Paul Millsap, I think he can learn a lot. I would say a team that didn't make it and that a lot of people are looking at is probably the Lakers, and I think the Lakers can make a push. They have a lot of young guys that they're relying on, but I think they could do it. I think they have enough pieces right now that if they were to make a push, that this would be the ideal team that they were to do it with. I think that they have a lot of pieces that I just said, like they didn't have before. I like that they have Brook Lopez at the center position. I think Brook Lopez is a great all-around player. But yeah, I think the West Division, is just, I think it's pretty set in that way. I don't know if there's many teams that I would say is going to jump into the playoff scene that we haven't seen already.
Yeah, and I'm basically trying to set the stage here for the next question, which is, what do the Timberwolves have to do, especially in those late months, end of the season, those last couple months, to make this push? Because I think it's easy to look at the Timberwolves roster and the guys they added and say, oh, well, they should definitely make the playoffs. But if you're looking at the teams that made the playoffs last year, other than Memphis, I think in Utah even might still make the playoffs. So one, maybe two teams leave the playoff race, and the rest of those teams, I don't really see them not making the playoffs. Obviously, Portland has some defensive issues, but that duo of Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum is so good. I just think they can just bomb threes all the way to the playoffs and still slide into the 8th, 7th seed. So you have these three teams who didn't make the playoffs last year, if you're not even including the Lakers, between the Nuggets and the Mavericks and the Wolves, and you have one or two spots for them to try and grab in this playoff race. So what do you need to see from them in those last few months? What do you need to see from them in the early part of the season? Because I don't know if how many games you can drop trying to make this learning curve of trying to gel together as a team.
I would say the first thing is that the Wolves got to find a consistent equation that works for them between all the new players that they have. I think right now, as we said, they have a lot of pieces that can work. I think chemistry might be an issue right away. Not really an issue, just something that they got to figure out. But once they figure that out, I think that they can make a push. I think right now that the Wolves just need to kind of find their style of basketball and play it. And I think that's the answer to them getting into the playoffs this year.
And then do you predict any major moves, anything that they could do? They do still have that Utah pick in their back pocket. Do you think that there is a trade out there for them maybe in the next couple months here, maybe once they get the season underway a little bit? Do you think that there is somebody that they can grab to just add as another piece to the roster? Or do you think they just kind of hold on to those picks and just kind of sit tight and wait to see how this thing rolls out till maybe Christmas or the All-Star break?
Yeah, I think that you got to just see how it plays out. See how the players play now. See how, because if everything's going well, why change anything? You know, there's no sense in don't fix what's not broken, you know? So I think you got to give your players a few months, a few games to see what works for them, see if they play well together. And if they do, then go ahead, go with it. But if not, then yeah, I say sit on those picks and make some changes right away.
So they won 31 games last year, 31-51. Vegas, I believe they had them at 48 for the over-under on win total. Do you think that's a good number? Would you go over, under? Do you think that's about where that should be, or do you think it should be at like 50 games?
I think that's a safe guess for Vegas. I think you can give them a little more, though. I think that they can take – I think you can give them a little more win. I think on the upper end of – maybe not the highest end of 50, but I think 50 is a safe number to guess for them, being that this is a younger – this is a younger group. This is a newer group. But, yeah, I could say 50. Around there is a good number for them.
All right, one last thing I wanted to go over before I let you go, Brennan. I'm looking at these teams that made the playoffs last year. Which one would you like to play the least? Which one do you definitely not want to play other than the Warriors? We all know you don't want to play the Warriors in the first round. You don't want to be that 8th seed and have to go against the Warriors and kind of be their first-round punching bag. But other than the Warriors, is there a team that you would really hate for them to play? Is there a team you would really love to see them play because maybe that's a matchup that they really pair well with?
I would say want to see them play would probably be the – I think they could play well against the Utah Jazz. I think defensively, outside of Gobert, I don't think the Jazz have a lot of strong options. I think that's definitely a team that you can see, you know, them being able to pick apart if everything works for them in the backcourt. The least likely to pay, I would say, either the Rockets or the Thunder. I would probably lean more to the Rockets and not wanting them to play, being that I got to just see how the defense progresses throughout the season. I think that it'll be an exciting matchup, but I don't know. There's not a lot of super strong teams outside of the Warriors that I wouldn't like to see them play. It's a great question.
No, yeah, and I think you're on the right track there as far as not really wanting them to play the Rockets. Last year, James Harden just went off against the Wolves last season and had some really great games against the Timberwolves. And he's, it just makes it so much more difficult, I think, if they can figure out that duo of Chris Paul and James Harden. If they can figure out a way to make that work together, then that's going to be really tough for them to match up against. And you got to remember, this is the first time that a bunch of these guys are going to be in the playoffs. So if they're playing a team, I think the Utah Jazz would be a team that they match up really well with. I think the LA Clippers would be another team just because you kind of know which guys on that team can score from outside, which guys, like, you got Lou Williams, he can score from outside. You got DeAndre Jordan, he's going to go for the paint. Obviously, Blake Griffin is a guy who's going to be really tough to handle, but there's not a ton of guys. Patrick Beverley is going to be a good defensive guy, not really an offensive threat. There's not a ton of guys that are going to be super versatile on the offensive side, so I think that's a good team if you're in the first round to kind of rev your defense up against and kind of give those guys who haven't been in the playoffs yet, kind of give them a good matchup where you can be like, okay, he's going to do this thing and he's going to do this thing, and that's what they're going to try and do all game. You don't have to really be super versatile on defense against a bunch of the guys on the Clippers roster. So I think that'd be a fun one and a good matchup for the Timberwolves.
Yeah, I agree. And I would also say for the Clippers, who knows if Blake Griffin will last that long. As we've seen in the past few years, they might not have to guard Blake Griffin.
Oh, no. Not going with it for poor Blake Griffin. Brendan already calling injuries out in the before the preseason even kicks off. Oh, man.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. But let's hope nobody upsets Blake on a stretching regimen or anything. None of the trainers.
So much shade being thrown, so much shade. Alrighty, he's Brendan Scarborough. I'm Colt Molesky. Thank you so much for joining us on another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99. And our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.